The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. The Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, there, sports fans. Wow. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Yeah.
And I'm Eric Metaxas. Alvin, who are you today?
I am Mr. Wednesday.
Mr. Wednesday.
Yeah, it's my new
Alvin,
name.
Alvin, listen, Alvin, since today is Wednesday.
Mr. Wednesday.
Since today is Wednesday, technically, I gotta share with the audience, before we get into other stuff, you know who's coming up in a couple seconds. Yes, yes, yes. Did you guess? Jenna Ellis.
No,
oh,
no.
Oh, boom. She's coming to Salem. Wow. I think she's leaving Real America's Voice and coming to Salem. So she's becoming part of this team.
Wow.
Yes, that's right. You play on my team or you don't play. That's number one. Jenna Ellis is coming up. In hour two, we're going to kick it down a notch. We're going to get mellow with John Zmirak.
Oh, no.
John Zmirak is just so mellow. He's the Perry Como of cultural commentary. So we're going to talk to Zmirak. Now, tomorrow, it's going to get crazy up in here.
Up in here.
It's going to be, that's cultural appropriation.
Okay.
And I'm wearing a sombrero in case you're listening on radio. I'm wearing a sombrero and eating chimichangas because I like them. But listen, tomorrow, Jesse Waters is coming on.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. You know Jesse Waters? It's like, I'm Jesse Waters and this is my world.
Yo, yeah.
You
Waters
know that?
World.
He's
Waters
coming
world.
On this program, and I'm going to put the tough questions to him.
Okay.
All right. Okay, but after Jesse tomorrow, we've got a big thing. Beckett Cook. Some of you heard Beckett Cook on this program. He's become a friend. He's an amazing person. He was in the gay lifestyle. He became a Christian, came out of that lifestyle, and he has a tremendously winsome approach to the subject. So we want to talk to him. That's going to be, is that tomorrow or Friday?
We don't know. It's tomorrow or Friday.
It's after today.
We're just going to finish out the week with a lot of dynamite.
Put
it that way.
Not a little bit.
In fact,
like, you know,
Fun Facts Friday. Oh, I wanted to, if I could quickly share a fact today. Fun
Facts
Friday.
Actually, no. Before you share the fact.
Aww.
I want to, no. We got to. This is an exciting fact.
Okay.
So before you share that fact,
okay, I will.
We need to hold our audience accountable.
Okay.
We got an email today from Tom Tradup.
Oh,
Tom
yeah.
is in Dallas. He's one of the major guys at Salem.
That's
he's
right.
part of the brass up at Salem
yeah.
Media.
Yep.
And he told us that on our program, we haven't raised as much money for food for the poor as we normally do. He tried to shame us.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell you how he tried to shame us. But I don't want to.
No.
He said that Larry Elder's program,
yeah.
they have a guest host, some no name, somebody you don't know,
no.
is guest hosting Larry Elder's radio show on the Salem Radio Network. And the no name guest host
yeah.
is raising way more money than we are on this show.
It's not Phil Donahue, is it?
No.
No, okay.
It's an actual no-name guest host. When I say no-name, I mean I didn't know who it was. I'm sure my audience doesn't know, but I'm sure he's a wonderful guy.
Oh, I'm sure.
But Tom Tradup is trying to shame us, and I'm thinking, hey, Tradup, why don't you back it up, young man? Because let me tell you something. You may have a titanium knee and gray hair, and you think you're the eminence grease of Salem, but I'm going to tell you something, pal. Larry Elder's program is way bigger than this program.
Yeah.
Way bigger.
Yeah.
There's zillions more listeners because he's been in the talk radio business
yeah,
for like 30-something years.
And he's almost the governor now, too.
And he's almost governor.
Yeah.
So Tradup needs to back it up. However, that said,
yeah.
since Tom is a friend, he kind of got to me. And I said, I need to tell my audience, don't let this happen.
Right.
We need to fight back. We don't want Larry Elder's guest host, you know, becoming mm-hmm. the golden boy of the Salem Radio Network.
Right.
So we need to give money.
Because next he's going to be replacing me. He'll
That's
be sitting
the, before you know
yeah,
it,
yeah.
we'll all be robots.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
we joke around, but as you know, the reason we harp are willing to harp on the issue of giving money to food for the poor is because this is about as serious as it gets.
Yeah.
So before we get to the fun fact, even though today's Wednesday, we're going to do fun facts Friday and Friday. That's a promise.
Yep.
But today we'll give you one fun fact after you promise to give to Food for the Poor if you haven't already. Okay. Food for the Poor. Let's. I want to read the copy that Tom Tradup, the big shot over in Dallas, that he read for us today. He says, as the world watches the tragedy in Afghanistan unfold, we're also sending our prayers and emergency supplies of food and medicine to the devastated people of Haiti. Now, let me just say, we're sending our prayers to the people of Haiti. Hey, Tradup, what does that even mean? We're sending our prayers to the people of Haiti? No. We're praying to the living God in heaven, not in Haiti, in heaven, that he would move on behalf of the people in Haiti. So that's strike one, Tradup. But the issue, I got to stop joking.
Yeah.
This is so serious that I have to joke because it's too painful. I don't want to think about this. Just promise me, folks, that you go to MetaxasTalk.com and give something to Food for the Poor, help the folks in Haiti. Tropical Storm Grace has been, this is so horrific, triggering mudslides and obviously as a result of that hampering the relief efforts.
Yeah.
The death toll from Saturday's earthquake has gone past 2,000. Now we're getting really serious. There's a Help Haiti banner at MetaxasTalk.com. Food for the Poor is just a tremendously reputable, effective organization. The money you give to them doesn't go to overhead. They can do great things with the little money that we give. If you give them $111, that feeds three kids for 6 months. Don't ask me how they do it, but they do it. They get huge, huge, huge donations from around the world, rice and beans and other staples. So Haiti is in America's backyard, right? So, in fact, we have a Hervé Joseph lives in Haiti. He owns a restaurant, a small business there, and Food for the Poor caught up with him. I wanted to play that clip because this is real. Let's play the clip. This is Hervé Joseph.
I know America always help out whenever they can. We're in a situation where we need it more than ever now. We're in a situation that was bad. It just got worse. I encourage people who are giving, especially to Food for the Poor, I encourage them to help in any way that they can so that we can help the people here. We've lost enough human lives. We should try as much as we can to save what we have left.
It's just mind-blowing. I don't know what to say. We're so blessed in this country, folks. Mudslides. Earthquakes, and before the earthquakes and the mudslides, before 84,000 buildings were turned to rubble in the earthquake that just happened, they already had malnourished kids, tremendous poverty. So we're asking you, go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the banner. If you'd prefer to call, the number is 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Albin and I want to do all kinds of things to encourage you. Everybody who gives $100 gets free Metaxas Super. You can get up to 5 memberships. That's no commercials. If you give $250, you get that plus a T-shirt. There's all kinds of other stuff. I want to talk about something fun before we go to the break. So just promise that you go to MetaxasTalk.com or dial 844-863-HOPE. 844-863-HOPE. You promise? All right. I'm taking you at your word. It's an honor system. Albin, what's the fun fact of the day?
Okay, today, August 18th, but way back in 1587, Virginia Dare, D-A-R-E, was born here on American soil.
Okay, and that is significant because
yes,
Virginia Dare
right.
was the first human being
yes.
to be born on American soil. Who was not already here, like a Native American,
right.
obviously.
And this is before it was America, the USA,
right.
et cetera. But it was, she was the first one in the new world.
So the first one from the old world
yes.
to be conceived in the old world
yes.
and born in the new.
Yes.
That's actually amazing.
Yeah.
And that's when racism began in 1587.
Virginia Dare,
right?
she was white.
Because original sin didn't really take effect
nope.
until the white people came here. And that's very clear from Scripture. Okay, so... if you think I'm being sarcastic, think again. I'm never sarcastic. Who? Moi?
Not you.
Never.
Not
all right. So moi. We want to tell you, we need you to go to 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Let me mention the phone number. It's 844-863-HOPE. 844-863-HOPE. There are people that can give a lot more. We want to bless you. $5,000, you get a visit to the studio with your whole family. $10,000, we can have dinner together. For $10,010, we don't have to have dinner. We can, you can just get takeout. We're out of time. When we come back, Jenna Ellis, then John Zmirak.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey there, friends. Eric Metaxas here. Joe Biden and the Democrats have laid out the most socialist agenda our country has ever seen. Instead of following President Trump's blueprint that had the economy booming, the Dems are going to raise taxes, increase regulations, and skyrocket an already outrageous national debt. If your retirement is in traditional investments, it is in jeopardy. Americans should be diversifying their investments with gold and precious metals. Gold gives you control over your wealth and protects you from market volatility, inflation, and a weakening dollar. When investing in gold, I turn to Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals has over 40 years of experience in helping Americans protect their finances, and this team is prepared to patiently consider your own personal financial needs. If you're looking to invest in gold, call the good folks at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-473-6204 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Don't leave your retirement to chance, friends. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. That's 866-473-6204.
Hey there, folks. Remember I said I would have Jenna Ellis on the program? Well, promises made, promises kept. Jenna Ellis, welcome.
Great to see you, Eric. Thanks for having me again.
We've got big news. You are, first of all, there was a statement made by Vice President Biden, which I want to play shortly. But before we get to that, you have big news about, I don't know, your career and stuff. What's going on with you?
Yes, I am so excited that I can finally announce that I'm joining the Salem Podcast Network family, which, of course, Eric, you are a part of, our good friend Dinesh D'Souza, Charlie Kirk, so many other great voices. And starting September 13th, I will be the host of the brand new The Jenna Ellis Show. This will be a podcast. You can go to the SalemPodcastNetwork.com and subscribe for free. It'll be streaming anywhere that you get podcasts. And, of course, I'm going to do a lot of analysis, not only on constitutional law, legal issues of our time, you know, so many things to talk about, that the Christian worldview, cultural issues, but things that are getting to the truth of what matters today in society and what you need to know moving forward to stand up boldly for the truth, challenge the cultural narrative, and of course, always fight back and stand firmly in the truth of the Word of God. So the Jenna Ellis Show coming September 13th. So excited.
September 13th, that's when restaurants in New York City will begin requiring vaccine cards. I just heard this again on the radio this morning, but I don't want to talk about that. Here's what I want to talk about.
We should talk about that, actually, because the restaurant, the Independent Restaurant Union Association, I think is what they're called, but the Independent Restaurant Owners Association, has just filed for an injunction against the city of New York to fight back against this. And so that's going to the New York Supreme Court. And I hope that this injunction will be granted, because people need to start fighting back in the court system and make sure that we protect and preserve our first liberties against this extreme overreach. There are so many different ways that we can attack unpack this, Eric, and we should. But primarily, you know, this vaccine isn't even FDA approved. And so under the emergency use authorization that the Health and Human Services Secretary has authorized this, it specifically says in federal law that any recipient must be able to exercise informed consent, meaning the right to refuse. So these types of mandates are not only an extreme abuse of emergency power, but actually against federal law, not to mention the unconstitutionality of these. So I hope that the Independent Restaurant Owners Association will prevail on this suit. And I also hope that there's a lot more challenges.
Isn't it interesting when reality bumps up against ideology? In other words, the restaurants that are involved in this suit, they're basically saying, listen, we're willing to take the risk. And by the way, we're going to lose money. This is ridiculous. You're destroying businesses. You're destroying the American economy. And so they're stepping up. And it's interesting how some people will step up and others won't. But that is really good news. I'm actually thrilled to hear that. It's always good to have a constitutional scholar on who knows about what's happening in the court system. I just want to play a clip. Biden, I think it's just minutes ago, spoke to the press. It's kind of an emotional, Albin, we describe it as a cri de coeur, a cry of the heart. I think he just wanted to get this off his chest. Let's play the, this is the Biden clip from just minutes ago.
Things I'm smart, not like everybody says, like dumb, I'm smart and I want respect.
Wow, that's just raw. That's raw footage, folks. Can we play that again? Because I want to make sure everybody hears what Vice President Biden just said to the press corps.
Things I'm smart, not like everybody says, like dumb, I'm smart and I want respect.
Wow, I don't even want to talk about that. Jenna, can we talk about the current administration? You don't have to reference what the vice president just said because it's just too raw. It's just too painful. I think it's too soon to comment.
Well, you know, this administration, it's such a disaster, Eric. And in 7 months only, it's amazing to see how many different ways he's let down the American people. He's openly flouted the U.S. Constitution. And, you know, I just had a piece in Newsmax this week that talks about how relativism is the precursor for tyranny. You retweeted that piece. I always appreciate you amplifying my work to get that out there to the public. And, you know, this is all about making sure that we understand as Christians, as conservatives, and even people, you know, our friends who are watching, who are Democrats, who maybe are leftists, who don't understand that relativism is such a dangerous ideology, because the Constitution, the rule of law, and simply reality is all about limitations. It's all about definitions. And if we don't actually have a constitution that has meritorious meaning in terms, has contours and defined limits of what is constitutional versus unconstitutional, that's how the Biden administration is getting away with abject tyranny. That's how these state governors in Democrat-controlled states, or like Bill de Blasio in New York City, are getting away with so much restrictions on our liberties and freedoms.
Well, give us an example when you say, in other words, I think what you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're saying that the Constitution is clear, okay? And obviously there are going to be places where we can disagree or where it's less clear, but basically there's some super clarity, and you're saying that relativists and often a Democratic or I would say liberal thinking judges who don't particularly respect the Constitution, who don't respect the ideas we're discussing, they use relativism to say that, well, it's not so clear, and it kind of fades off into the swamp of nothingness. It becomes however you define it. So there's no bright line. So there's effectively no real law. So how are some of these blue state governors and blue state mayors, blue city mayors, how are they using this idea to become increasingly tyrannous, I guess, is where they're going?
Yeah, so this is the left, and we've heard this so many times, that the word is fluid for the Constitution. Oh, it's fluid, it changes in meaning, so there's no real specific definition. Well, that's not true. The hallmark of our Constitution is not just separation of powers, but limited specific powers. And so on the federal level, the Biden administration and the executive branch and even Congress are limited to the specific enumerated powers that are given in the United States Constitution. Our Ninth and Tenth Amendment reserve all powers that are not enumerated to the states and to the people. So that doesn't mean then that the states are just unlimited in their authority either. And so the federal government has absolutely no authority to tell the states what to do with respect to vaccine mandates, with respect to, you know, any of these things that infringe upon our liberty and freedom. And so for the states, when you have something, for example, like a vaccine mandate, like we just talked about with New York City, this is the executive branch that's violating the separation of powers, because under their emergency authorizations, we're no longer in a state of emergency. The state legislatures can absolutely meet and they can determine whether or not to implement some of these things if they're even constitutional, and there's a lot of reasons that they're not, with their police power. But that is a specifically legislative designation. So for these executive branch officials to say, hey, we're exercising our emergency authorization, we're going to force every individual to show a vaccine passport before they can take advantage and exercise their rights with respect to going into restaurants, gyms, hotels, I mean, all of these things, that is a violation of the separation of powers and of limited powers of the specific definition of what our law allows. Our government is not tyrannical. They can't just decide what's best for you and me in the interest of quote-unquote public safety. But this is where, Eric, the left wants to go. They want absolute control, and they want to be able to tell you and me and our families how to exercise our freedoms, what's in our best interest. That's the entire proposition, and the goal of the left is for tyrannical control and to decide for us what's in our best interest and ultimately destroy capitalism, destroy our freedoms and liberties, and become a communist Marxist state.
I mean, Victor Davis Hanson wrote a piece recently where he talks about all of these things you're talking about and kind of makes the case a little bit better than I've been making it in my own head over the last months about how it is that these kinds of overreaches lead us to socialism and communism. The idea, for example, that you can say to landlords, you can't collect rent. What a wild destruction of the capitalist system. I mean, it's just bizarre that we have the president of the country, he claims that, being able to affect what happens with a landlord and a tenant.
Yeah, and the CDC's moratorium on evictions, Joe Biden even said expressly to the press that he knows it's illegal, he knows it's unconstitutional, but he's doing it anyway because he knows that the court system is lagging and hopefully they'll get a month or two. And oh. So you have a United States president that is expressly saying, I know that it's unconstitutional, but I'm going to do it anyway. I mean, this is the definition of why impeachment matters and why Joe Biden absolutely should be impeached. It's a violation of his oath of office.
I want to talk about that on the other side of this break. This is very important, impeachment. Whoa, here we go. We'll be right back with Jenna Ellis. Hey there, folks. I'm talking to my guest, Jenna Ellis. Jenna, you were just talking about something, and I know you raised this subject on Twitter. Whenever we talk about impeachment, it's a tough thing because things have become so politicized. I mean, this sounds like a joke. They impeached Trump twice. Obviously, he was not convicted. But, I mean, it seems to me to have become cheapened, the idea of impeachment. So when you call for impeachment of Biden, on what grounds would he be impeached?
Yeah, and I think it's an important point, Eric, that, you know, this isn't just a tit for tat. This isn't just saying, oh, because the left has weaponized the impeachment process as a political tool against a political opponent, like they did twice against President Trump. Therefore, we as conservatives and constitutional originalists should just say, well, you know, we can do the same thing. Not at all. We need to maintain respect for our rule of law. But clearly, impeachment, in order to mean something, in order to have a power and a process that's given to Congress to remove a sitting U.S. president when he has run afoul of the U.S. Constitution, we have to make sure that we still use that tool when it is available and under the specific definition of impeachment in Article 1 and 2 of the U.S. Constitution. And so for Joe Biden, there are multiple grounds just in his 7 months that I think impeachment articles can be drawn and that they would be worthy of a legitimate constitutional basis. In fact, Marjorie Taylor Greene just announced earlier this week that she is drawing up articles of impeachment, not only because of the terrible, ridiculous, just monstrosity that has gone on with respect to Afghanistan, but also even prior to that, when we look at the overreach of the executive branch, we were talking right before the break about the CDC eviction moratorium. That's something that Joe Biden is openly admitting is a violation of a Supreme Court decision that said, no, this is unconstitutional as an exercise of executive authority. When he's saying openly he's flouting the U.S. Constitution, he doesn't care, that is a violation of his oath of office, and I think falls within the definition of high crimes and misdemeanors when he's violating his oath of office so openly.
Does stealing an election constitute an impeachable offense? Does it rise to that level?
Absolutely. And I think that that's also a ground that Joe Biden should be impeached when we look at the all of the evidence that has come out across multiple states, and especially as these audits are ongoing. And many state legislatures now are leading efforts to decertify their electoral votes. Obviously, Joe Biden was constitutionally installed. And what I mean by that is that Congress did count the electoral votes on certifications that purported to be accurate. But when the state legislatures have gone back and actually had time to review this, even though, you know, of course, they refused to act in the very short period of time that I had as an advocate for President Trump and of course, as his legal counsel in that short time frame up and before January 6th when they were counted. When the state legislatures, and if they do ultimately decertify this and say, yeah, this was a false assessment and these votes were not counted according to our state law, then absolutely Congress must act on the understanding that now we have an improperly constitutionally installed president. And I do believe that that is grounds for impeachment, whether or not we have a specific link or nexus to Joe Biden, whether or not he knew this was going on, whether or not he was a participant. Congress will still have to deal with this and fashion a constitutionally appropriate remedy. To the people who are like, well, this will create a constitutional crisis, got news for you. We're already in a constitutional crisis. We need to make sure that we look at this fairly, accurately. There are a lot of other theories out there that, you know, others can speak to that are not, in my view, within necessarily the lane of the Constitution. We need to look at viable constitutional solutions according to the state legislatures if and when they do decertify their electors.
Well, I was being sarcastic when I said, is stealing an election a constitutional offense? But I'm so glad that even when I ask a sarcastic question, I can get a serious answer that, yeah, it probably is. I wanted to ask you about the election because you're one of the people that knows enough about this that I can ask and say, what do you think happened? And you've said to me, yes, you believe, in fact, the election was stolen. In fact, the American people did not vote for Joe Biden. That's a monumental thing to say. It's just, Jenna, never happened in the history of the nation, 245 years, the idea that we've been a country and that this happened for the first time. The level of corruption has risen to where something like this could happen. So my question specifically is, Where are we with these different states? Do you know? Because I always get that question and I don't have the answer.
Yeah. And so I would say that, you know, the proper phrasing is that the election was completely lawless. And what we saw in the aftermath of the 2020 election was how six different states from their executive branch, from the governors to the secretary of state, all the way down to the election administrators, violated their own state law. Under the Constitution, it is the state legislatures that determine the administration of the elections. And a lot of people don't know that before 1824, the state legislatures actually selected which electoral delegates would go to Congress. It wasn't even based on popular vote.
Actually, we're going to get into some. This is very interesting. I want to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to really get into this. This is rather important. Don't go away. Ask Metaxas, what's the next question?
All right. This question is from someone named Todd, and it's a little critical. So if you pick up on that, I'm going to try to bring it a little bit.
Okay.
I am currently watching your Socrates in the City interview with Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel. Great conversation. Great dialogue. I have wanted to ask you a question about your dancing around Catholicism for several years. As a pillar of authentic, spirit-filled Christianity, do you not see the platform you have on stirring true Christian doctrine in the Catholic community of faith? What are you doing, Eric?
That is very passive aggressive.
Yeah, it's a little passive aggressive.
Interesting, because this person is calling me a pillar.
Yeah, which is nice.
Authentic, spirit-filled Christianity, and let me be blunt: you're smoking crack, my brother in Christ. But I guess what this person is saying is that if I believe all the stuff that I believe, why am I not calling out my Catholic brothers and sisters as being a part of a cult? I think that's what this person is getting at. And I think I shouldn't joke around too much because this is so serious, right? I am not a Catholic, and I don't see myself becoming a Catholic. But I have often said that I have great respect for the Catholic Church and for the Eastern Orthodox Church. This doesn't mean that I don't have quibbles, theological quibbles. But I've got theological quibbles with John MacArthur. I've got theological quibbles with a lot of people that I think are solid. And so I don't call people out of their churches if I consider it a church, right? If somebody says, what do you think about Mormon doctrine? What do you think about Jehovah's Witness doctrine? Whatever, I would more than quibble. I would say the doctrine is flawed and it's not really Christian. It doesn't mean that there can't be good people in those places, and they may be worshiping Jesus in their own hearts. But when it gets to the Catholic Church or the Eastern Orthodox Church, I would not necessarily call somebody out of that world, because I think you can find Jesus in those places. But if, practically speaking, you aren't finding him, if you're going to a church where you're not hearing the gospel preached, where they're not encouraging Bible study, which is the case in many Catholic and Eastern Orthodox churches, then I would say attend a Bible study someplace else or go to another church. But I don't feel myself compelled to call out Catholics like they're all, you know, messed up and wrong, because many of the Catholics I know are not. We can have conversations where I differ with them, but I'm not about to say, like, I need to take a stand against the Catholic Church, because I think that's kind of a caricature of the Catholic Church, that they're into works righteousness. No, I know many of them who aren't. They get it. So yeah. Next question.
Okay, Michael asks, we call Trump 45 because he's the 45th president, but only 44 men have been president. How did that happen?
Do you guys know the answer to this?
They leave one open for the prophet Elijah. I don't know.
That's wrong. Oh. No, this I don't know if I'm going to get this right, but I'm going to get the spirit of it right. I think it was, maybe somebody can look this up because I always forget. I think it was one of the Harrisons, not Benjamin Harrison, but the other Harrison.
George.
No. The point is that somebody was elected. I should have had this prepared. Somebody was elected president for one term. Was it Grover Cleveland? was it? I was going to say, I thought Grover Cleveland was in between the two Harrisons, but it was Grover Cleveland. Okay, Grover Cleveland was elected for one term. Then he lost and was replaced by somebody else. And then he was reelected again.
Oh.
So I think he's the 22nd and 24th presidents of the United States. So Grover Cleveland is the 22nd and 24th president of the United States, which is weird. But that's kind of how it works. Everybody else was in chronological order.
So,
he was messed up by the person.
So if Barack Obama decides to run again and win,
yeah, well, he can't
be 44.
I don't know if
46,
he can. I don't think he can do more than two terms.
Ah.
I don't. I wonder. You know, that's a good question.
Jimmy Carter, then maybe.
Jimmy Carter could win again, and he could be the 46th president
and
the
38th,
I think. I don't know. We're just about out of time. Aren't these great questions?
Oh, yeah. Good.
And we've got more time with Ask Metaxas. Folks, we need you to go to MetaxasTalk.com to give to Food for the Poor. The banner is right there. These are the poorest of the poor in Guatemala. We need your help. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. We'll be right back.
You wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on.
I can't believe Johnny Cash rhymes on with tone. Have you noticed that, Chris?
I just did, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
The things that I have on.
Yeah, that's called a soft rhyme. Is
and
that
I
right?
wear it.
Yeah.
For the poor and
is
lonely
it a soft
old.
Rhyme or,
I don't know.
Hard rhyme.
I don't know.
False
but
rhyme.
I just love Johnny Cash and I love his voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we're doing Ask Metaxas.
Yeah.
And
I love Cash.
Let me just say that Ask Metaxas, you get to ask anything. So we're just reading off the questions that you've written in, and I'm doing my best to answer them. So who's next?
This is Gail, and her question is, as a person who grew up near Ithaca, New York, and a lover of classic films, you were talking of David Niven, and I'd like to ask if you ever watched the film Enchantment. It is a great film, in my humble opinion, yet correct opinion, and it co-stars Teresa Wright and Jane Meadows before The Honeymooners. Enchantment.
Okay, Gail asks, have I ever seen Enchantment with David Niven, Jane Meadows, and Teresa Wright? And the answer, Gail, is no. No. I've got no use for that junk. No, seriously, I've not seen it, but I love classic films. I love Turner Classic Movies. Sometimes they have stuff on that I don't want to see, but every now and again they've got amazing stuff on. I love classic films. David Niven is not somebody that I have enjoyed as a film actor. I feel like I just haven't seen the right film. So I'm looking forward to seeing Enchantment. Jane Meadows of The Honeymooners. Now, I always get her confused with Audrey Meadows.
Yeah.
Is Audrey Meadows is not the one who was in The Honeymooners? It was Jane Meadows? Who's the one who's married to Steve Allen
Audrey,
of The Tonight Show?
I don't know. I think it's Audrey Meadows.
I think Audrey Meadows is the one in The Honeymooners.
Yeah.
And I think,
and
Gail, Meadows. You're busted.
Well, busted.
But Teresa Wright, she stars in The Pride of the Yankees, which I saw when I was like seven or something like that, with Gary Cooper about the great baseball player Lou Gehrig.
Mm-hmm.
So I have this to look forward to. But I love classic films, and so we really love the spirit of your question, Gail, even if specifically it was rude and obnoxious. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
We're talking to Jenna Ellis.
Yeah.
Man, she's a hothead.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to cool things down in hour two.
Yeah, and she's coming to Salem, too, I understand.
Oh, yeah, she's coming to Salem. Oh, another hothead.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. We need somebody to calm us down.
Yes.
Somebody who's right for this time in America. I'm talking about John Zmirak.
Mm-hmm.
He's a voice of not just of reason, but just a... He just mellows us out.
Yeah,
because
mellow. He is the voice of John Zmirak.
He is the voice of John Zmirak.
Yeah.
And he speaks for the Beagles. We're going to have him in hour two. We may have a little more Jenna, but then we're going to tone it way down with Zmirak. Okay, now, I got to tell you, folks, some of you promised earlier today that you would give to Food for the Poor. I saw you. I heard you in my mind. Yeah. I heard every word. And let me tell you something. Some of you, you didn't live up to that promise.
No.
And I'm just going to say that can't happen. We can't have that kind of standard. We need, if you say you're going to do something and I heard you, you need to do it. It's really uncool for you not to do it. So here's what you need to do. Here's how you can make it up to the universe. You go to MetaxasTalk.com. Yes, MetaxasTalk.com. When you go there, you'll notice there's a banner that says Help Haiti. You click on that banner, and then you give there. Now, there are people all around the country who have been giving. I want to say to you, thank you. And I want to remind people, Alvin has worked this out for us. If you give a certain amount, we just want to thank you. We know you're not giving to get things.
And by the way, any amount, by the way, there are three grand prizes that we'll announce early in September. Three grand prizes that have all your books. They have the Hamster Home series. They have all kinds of T-shirts, hats.
Holy cow.
Remember that?
We need to mention this.
So any amount.
Okay, so whatever you give, I'm just hoping you'll give something. We're going to put you in the grand prize drawing. There are three grand prizes. Initially, Alvin, you held up four fingers, and you really blew my mind because I thought, if this guy doesn't know the difference between three and four, no wonder our ratings are in the tank.
Well, I'm what is his name?
We're on at like 1 a.m. across the country.
Yeah.
No, seriously, though.
Yeah, right now it's 1 a.m., and I'm tired.
This show, we really do want to bless you. So if you give anything, you get into the drawing. When I was in Seattle the other day, a woman came up to me in the book line and said, I was one of the grand prize winners. I got all these boxes of books, and what, she was all excited, and that could be you.
Yeah.
So if you give $1,000, you get a personalized video from me, if you want that.
Yeah.
You get a signed Is Atheism Dead book, personalized. You get memberships in our – some of you know that we have – Metaxas Super. So if you want to listen to this program on podcast without commercials, you get that. You know, and you get that for free for giving to Food for the Poor, which is tax deductible and which is, by the way, helping people who actually really need our help. Their government can't help them. Our government can't help us, much less help them.
Yeah.
So please, folks, you've been blessed. Be a blessing. Go to MetaxasTalk.com or call 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Hope. Now, we have an official statement. I wanted to end with this because this is so exciting.
Yeah.
Joe Biden he's come out of his burrow and he saw his own shadow. No, I'm sorry. I'm getting that mixed up. He's come out of his basement. No, he's come out of vacation to make an announcement to the press.
Okay.
Now, he needed to do this. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to play what Joe Biden had to say to the press and to the American people. Let's play that clip.
I'm smart. I'm like everybody says. Like dumb, I'm smart, and I want respect.
Man, that is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
He knows people are making fun of him.
Aww.
He's bitter. Let's play that again. This is Joe Biden speaking to the press. I can't believe this. Go ahead. I think he's going to resign. All right, folks. We wanted to end on a positive note. We failed. Go to Food for the Poor. Go to MetaxasTalk.com.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.